Welcome to this week's edition of Mountain Outhouse News. I'm your host, Jam Jam. This is the craziest to happen in running this week. This week's stories include Wardian's World Marathon Fortnite Dances, Man vs. Wild Trail Runner Style, and Chainlink Fencing Graces No Hands Bridge. We kick off this week with a feel-good story. One man, seven continents, seven marathons, 7 days, seven Fortnite dances? Yeah, you heard me right. Frontrunner for Dad of the Year, Michael Wardian, is not only competing for the second time in the World Marathon Challenge, which charters a jet to fly participants to 7 different marathons on all the continents in just a week, but he is also fulfilling a promise to his boys that he will do a different Fortnite dance of their choosing at the finish line of each race. On top of that, he's won the first 6 races so far. Let's break them down. First, Michael won the Antarctic International Marathon at Nora Base in 3 hours 16 minutes, followed by the Sprinkler. Yeah, I'm gonna give him an 8 on style points on that one. Next up, he flew to Cape Town, South Africa, where it was 100 degrees warmer than the marathon in Antarctica. Wardian again won in 2 hours 57 minutes, and went on to do the Pumpernickel. That one was just a 4 in my book. Day 3 had him winning Australia in Perth in 2 hours 50 minutes, with the celebration dance being Living Large. And that he was. On to Asia and Dubai, where he won his 4th in a row in 2 hours 50 minutes, followed up with the Running Man dance, appropriately enough. Then it was on to Europe and Madrid to win number 5 in 2 hours 56 minutes. He did the zany dance, and his kid's reaction was just priceless. Santiago, Chile in South America, where he won number 6 in 3 hours 4 minutes, and capped it off with the hype dance. I can really see the miles affecting him at this point, but speaking for myself, I couldn't do much better on fresh legs. The final marathon takes place in Miami today after the filming of this show, so we'll have to wait until next week for the final time and final dance. Can he sweep it? Probably. Well, I feel a little bit silly reporting on this one as it's made the rounds on social media about 100 times over. But damn, a mountain lion cub attacked a trail runner in the Fort Collins, Colorado area this weekend, and the runner in self-defense strangled and killed the cat. Although it was less than a year old, by all accounts, it's damn impressive. We're just waiting to see if the brave runner reveals his true identity once the trauma of the event is over. We're glad you're with us. Either way, be careful out there. The Sufferfest beer brand was just acquired by Sierra Nevada Brewing in a move that should allow the gluten-removed beer company to distribute its product much more widely. The brand gained considerable traction through the trail and ultra-running community, with a beer even called the FKT, and it's cool to see their success. I remember them having a tent set up at the finish of the Quad Dipsy a couple years back. Nice. The Rocky Raccoon 100 took place in Texas this past weekend with a big 100-mile personal best for race winner David Laney. He got the flat and fast course, comprised of 4 25-mile loops done in just 14 hours 3 minutes. He was followed up by Pima Pirate Catlo Shipping of Tucson in 15 hours 4 minutes, just shy of his personal best of 14:51 set back in 2014 when he won the Javelina 100. The women's winning time was a bit slower than some of the fastest times we've seen here before, but Maria Silti won in 19 hours 19 minutes, with Giulia Sorti second, 20 hours 56 minutes. Pre-race favorite and course record holder Ian Sharman dropped after loop 1 due to an injury flare-up. Also finishing Rocky Raccoon, and already his 4th race of 100 miles or more in 2019, is Walter Handloser, the man attempting to run 50 100-mile events in 2019. He's currently out on the course at the Franklin's 200 this weekend in El Paso, and we'll follow that up a day later with the Lone Star 100 mile in the same mountain range. We'll do a monthly check-in with Walter as he progresses towards his goal. Another weekend, another race in Hong Kong. This one, the Nine Dragons, features a 50 mile with a night start, followed the next day with a 50K. Some double up and do both, including Magdalena Boulay, who dominated the duo, winning the 50 mile in 13:45 and the 50K in 8:32. On the men's side, Kazufumi Ose of Japan edged out Julian Shorier of France on the second day 50K by 12 minutes, taking the double win after being behind by 9 minutes after the 50 miler. Some good racing right there. Corey Woltering looks to have fallen ill to the same bug that took out Dylan Bowman a couple weeks back at the Hong Kong 100K. Iron Far's own Megan Hicks took the win at the Elephant Mountain 50K in Cave Creek, Arizona, in 5 hours 25 minutes, while the men's win went to Kirstalovic Opers Daniel. Thanks to some inspiring performances the past 2 years, pushing the envelope of human endurance at Laz's Biggs Backyard Ultra, a last person standing style event that has runners completing a 4.1667 mile loop once per hour as long as possible, there's now interest in a worldwide qualifying series of events. I mean, who would have thunk it? The first golden ticket race, I mean, major points for originality here in the name, right? Took place in Dubai at the Desert Trail Backyard Ultra. Mark Hagney was the last one standing after 25 hours and 104.1667 miles completed on course. He will join others at the October race in Tennessee. Johann's Bridge gets an upgrade, or as many are already griping, an eyesore with the addition of chain link fencing the length of the steel rails that run across the iconic and historic bridge over the American River at mile 98 of the famed Western States 100-mile endurance run. Probably more important things in the world than whether there is some chain link, but it's still a big change for the landmark. Speaking of Western States, they just launched a new transgender policy aimed to lay some ground rules on how to handle different scenarios that may come about. This may be the first trail ultra event to have a formal policy on this issue, although USATF adopted the IOC's guidelines on this back in 2005, which has since been updated as of 2015. There are definitely some similarities to these policies, but Western States does seem to be a little less specific on some. Generally, a female-to-male transgender entrant may run as a male without restriction if they are indeed taking testosterone as part of a hormone treatment. Related to the transition, they may not compete as a female, otherwise they may be subject to the normal drug testing policy. Bit of a mouthful. For male-to-female transgender entrants, they must be undergoing continuous medically supervised hormone treatment for gender transition for at least 1 year prior to the race. This is similar to the IOC's guidelines, except they specify maximum levels of testosterone in serum to be below 10 nanomoles per liter for at least 12 months prior to competition and for the duration of the competition. The only way a challenge to a gender transition may be made is if the participant places in the top 10 or is an age group winner. Curious what y'all think. Is this a fair policy in line with other running governing bodies? Something that should be universally applied to the sport? It looks like they did consult existing standards in crafting their policy and put much thought into it. There was a bit of a stink raised recently about Leadville's decision to offer VIP amenities at their races. Let's be honest, today's ultra runners are clearly soft and in need of pampering compared to the olden days, where you just strap a Boda bag on your bare chest and fuel off whatever you can find out in the wild. The $550 VIP program includes, according to their website, a special packet pickup, a premium puffy and backpack from Patagonia, a post-race massage, engraving of your medal and buckle, VIP crew parking at Twin Lakes, now that might be worth it alone, a catered VIP tent for four at Twin Lakes, and a VIP welcome reception Wednesday evening of race week. I mean, it doesn't sound too bad, and if people want to pay for it, why the heck not? Will be interesting to see how many takers there are on the offer. Second race of the Ultra Trail World Tour of 2019 heads to New Zealand this weekend for the Tarawera Ultra. Who should you look out for in both the 102K event and newish 100 miler? For starters, Jeff Browning is kicking things off early in 2019, towing the line at the 100 mile event, and should almost be a guaranteed win for him. On the ladies' side, Camille Herron will also be jumping up to the 100 mile distance here. No pressure, either of you. Except, come on. For the 102K, Harry Jones will face off against Cody Reed, Ryan Sands, and Pima Pirate Charlie Ware. here's to Charlie making some noise down under. Or is that an Australian thing? Ah, well. On the ladies' side, Amanda Basham, who placed second here last year, is a clear favorite, but will face off against 2018 Euroy, Courtney DeWalter. Also in the field is Fiona Havice, who won here in 2016. Americans Sally McRae and Megan Laws are also racing. A bit of a Twitter war broke out between staunch vegan ultra runner Sage Candidate and proud fat-adapted athlete Zach Bitter on the correct or optimum diets for human runners. Definitely some intense but informative back and forth. They kept things mostly respectful while having differing opinions. I'm a professed plant-based runner, which works really well for me, but to each his or her own. Do what works for you. Fake Instagram accounts? Kimberly Newberry was recently a victim of someone copying her account with a fake name. She goes by Kimberly DT as her official account, but someone made a fake account with her photos and profile under the name Chemic8866. She squashed it early and thankfully was able to get it removed from the social network app. Weird.
Thanks, Jam Jam. Happy birthday, by the way. Getting closer to that master's division, like my old man. You two old farts can run around together. Not a lot of races going on here in the Great Northwest. But soon. Has your winter been long and cold? Did you want to go to a concert so you gave Ja Rule all your money? It's murder! Do you not have anyone special this Valentine's Day? Well, I got some good news for you. I am so excited! It's better than Christmas! Well, not really. But it's...
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen!
It's Black Panther!
And with that, thanks for tuning in to episode 131 of Outhouse News. Thanks for checking out the show, and we'll see you next time. If you have crazy stories to share or a question or feedback for the show, please leave a comment below. If you'd like to directly support the show financially, consider becoming a Patreon supporter of this channel, or pick up this custom pair of Jam Jam sunglasses. It's one of a kind. Link below. Have a shitty week.